Well, it's been quite busy of recent times here. It's always busy. But over the past couple of weeks or past week, I've been privileged to conduct a couple of funerals of two outstanding members of our church. I mentioned that, I think, last week. And at funerals, people grieve, as rightly grieve, so they should, over the loss of those that they've lost, of their loved ones. But when someone dies, everybody, people don't cease to exist when they die. Everyone needs to understand that. I think we do understand that. They don't just sit, they're not, their body's there, but, they still exist. People's spirits don't evaporate. When you die, your spirit doesn't and soul doesn't just evaporate. You continue to exist. So when a person draws their final breath, and every one of us in this room, and I don't want to give you a downer right now, but you're going to come to your time and you're going to breathe your last breath, or Jesus is going to come back again. Which one would you like? Jesus coming back again one? Yeah, I'm with you on that one, yeah. Yeah. But, when you do breathe your last breath, what happens is that your spirit and soul, you slip out of your body into eternity. Because of what I do, I've seen lots of people have passed away, friends have passed away. And it's really interesting. I remember getting a phone call one time from a lady crying on the phone, "Quick, come to my house, quick, come to my house." And it was actually Ralph Mitchell and I quickly drove to this lady's house, and her husband had just been pruning the roses, and I knew her husband really well. His name was Larry, and he was on his back. His dog was barking, ants were climbing into his ear. He was dead. And they reckon he was dead before he hit the ground. But as I looked at Larry, I can remember looking at him thinking, wow, this is interesting. I can remember thinking, that's not Larry. I can remember looking really close thinking, Larry's gone. That's just his tent. And so Larry had gone. And that's what happens. You go. You're not there anymore. Your body slips into eternity. And then once a person has passed on, a person then, they can't come back. You're unable to come back and correct any mistakes that you might have made during life on earth. Sometimes you think, oh, it'd be good to be able to go back in time and correct mistakes, wouldn't it? But when you pass on, you can't come back at all. That's impossible. And you're also not able to come back and add new achievements to your life on earth. When you pass on, your earthly life is finished. Your life is complete. Yeah. We know that. When you slip into eternity, you step over the threshold into eternity, and it's just forever and ever. And we all know, and if you don't, I'm telling you, eternity is rushing towards you today. It's rushing towards everybody in this place. I'm just getting a drink of water. That's all I'm doing. But I'm just thinking, next month I turn 60. Can you believe that? And I'm planning, depends on COVID, but I'm planning to go to Melbourne and be with my grandchildren. I think that would be a great way to celebrate your 60th. What do you think, everybody? But I'm 60. And then when I come back, I'll probably be in quarantine. Who knows? But when you slip from this life, it's all over, Red Rover. You can't come back. And, of course, then people all around the world, people from there's all sorts of cultures, aren't there, and worldviews, that people have all sorts of expectations of what the afterlife is going to be. But it's God's will and it's God's desire, absolute desire, that all people in the entire world, from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation, people all around the world, it's God's will for them that they spend their eternity with Him. Under His favor, because that's what God wants. He wants to give you His favor and under His blessing in a place called heaven. Heaven is real. Heaven is beautiful. It's a place that God wants us to go to. And so God has gone to great lengths, everybody. God's gone to extraordinary lengths to make it possible for all the different people, all the different people in the world, all the different people in your world, to go to heaven. That's what God wants. And God has done this, and we know this. God's done this even though we are deserving of not going to heaven. We're deserving of God's anger. We're deserving of God's judgment because of our sinful and rebellious nature. And everybody in this room's got a sinful and rebellious nature. Some more than others. We all know, don't we, that because of our sin, the Bible says all have sinned, because of our sin, we all deserve eternal destruction. But the Bible says, which we know this verse off by heart, many of us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, but, or another way you could say that is equally valid, whoever believes in him shall not be destroyed. They won't come to destruction. They won't be destroyed, but they will have eternal life. And that implies eternal life, not length of life, but a life that's going to be in heaven. But because of his mercy, God has made one, and there's only one way, one easy way for all the people of the world, even though all have sinned, one easy way for people in the world to receive eternal life. And we all know, I hope in this room, that Jesus is that way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. We know Jesus Christ suffered terribly, bearing our destruction, bearing our punishment for our sins on the cross. But we also know that Jesus rose again from destruction as conqueror over all of our spiritual enemies. How do we know this? We know it because we read our Bibles. Amen. It's all in the Bible. Read your Bible. Therefore, because of what Jesus has done, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from destruction. That means that no one needs to go to hell. Nobody in this room, you don't need to go to hell. No matter how bad you've been, no matter what's been going on, you don't need to go to hell in eternity. There's a way of escape if you're willing to take it. Amen? Hell is avoidable and heaven is gainable. And Jesus is that way to heaven. And this news about Jesus being the way is the good news of all eternity for all humanity. Did everybody just hear what I just said? But Jesus also, listen everybody, listen. He gave us clear instructions about what we should do with that good news. Very, very clear instructions. For example, Jesus said to us, go into all the world and preach the what? The good news. Gospel means good news, doesn't it? Preach the good news to people that we like. Preach the good news to people who are part of the same culture as us. No, he says, preach the good news to everyone, absolutely. What about this? And Jesus said this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Here we go. Telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Who knows? Australia is part of the ends of the earth. And the Bible declares that God does not want anyone, this is such a powerful scripture. God doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So God makes it clear that every person has a right. Please listen today. God makes it clear that every person has a right. It's their right to hear this good news about Jesus so that they will not be destroyed. It's their right to hear that good news story. The good news story of salvation is not just for a select few. Your friends, your mates have a right to hear this good news about Jesus. Your neighbor has a good right to hear this good news about Jesus. The homeless people here in Gosnells have a right to hear this good news about Jesus. The wealthy man living in Netherlands has a right to hear the good news about Jesus. and the Aboriginal person up in Kununurra has a right to hear about Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, the people living in Afghanistan also have a right to hear the good news. Those in the Middle East have the same right to hear the good news as us. Those in Thailand, those in Burma, those in China, those in India, those in South America, those in Papua New Guinea, those in Europe, those in Africa, all have a right to hear the good news so they can call on Jesus and be saved. The good news is for the atheists. The good news is for Muslims. The good news is for Hindus. The good news is for Buddhists and for people in all sorts of other religions. The good news is for brown people. The good news is for black people, white people, tall people, short people, clever people, not so clever people, bad people, good people, talented people, average people, old people, young people, poor people, rich people, bald people, hairy people. Good news for everybody. Every person has a right. Every person has a right to hear the good news of Jesus Christ at least once. But then the Bible says, but then how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See, the good news about Jesus is for everyone, but not everyone has heard the good news. Did you know that there are still millions and millions and millions of people in the world who are still yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Many people in other lands have never even heard the name of Jesus. They don't even know who he is, let alone hear what he's done. Eternity is rushing towards them like it is to us. Their time is short, and yet no one's told them about Jesus. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? How will they escape judgment? What's going to happen? They don't know that they could be saved from their sins. They don't even know about the love of God. They don't know God. How could they even know about God? How could they know about Jesus when there's no church near them? How could they know about Jesus when there is no Bible in their language for them to even read? What are they going to do? How could they know about Jesus and the good news when there's no missionary to speak with them? They're lost in spiritual darkness and no one is able to help them when they slip into eternity. Perhaps these people are those kind of people who are praying towards Mecca. Or maybe the people who bring their, you know, offerings to their gods to appease them in some way. But they're still lost to God because no one's told them that God sent Jesus Christ to bear their sins. See, everyone has a divine right to hear the good news about Jesus at least once before they slip into eternity. Just once. That's why we're a missions-minded church here at Real Life Church. That's why I'm talking like I am today. This is not a gimmicky, churchy thing that I'm talking about today. This is not even a David Warwick thing. This is not a Real Life Church thing. God's heart beats for the whole world. It's a God thing. So our mandate for missions comes directly from the Lord. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jesus gave his followers, and that includes us, and we're just a tiny part, aren't we, of the body of Christ, but this includes us. Jesus gave to his followers the responsibility of carrying the good news to the entire world. He said this, "Go and make disciples of some of the nations." Yeah. I do need to put my glasses on. You're right, Eleanor. He says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Go and make disciples of all the nations. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no plan B. There is no plan B. There is no plan B for missions. There's no plan B if we don't play our part in fulfilling God's command to reach the world. We are God's plan. We're it. You can imagine the angels in heaven. I've heard people talking about this before, saying to God, you've got to have somebody better than that group down there. No, this is my plan. This is my group. There is no plan B. Now, some people have suggested, not anybody in this room, so if my eyes look at you, it's just purely coincidence. But some people have suggested over the years that we should just focus on reaching only our own country, Australia, and not be so concerned for other countries, because the needs here in Australia are great and we should care for our own. And ladies and gentlemen, Australia does have some incredibly, we have some great needs here. And our greatest need, by the way, is for a spiritual awakening here in Australia. So this is my response, in case you might be thinking about this. This is my response to such comments. We should be 100% committed to reaching Australia. We should be. Australia is our earthly home. I'm so glad I live in Australia. I thank God that my parents immigrated to Australia. I'm an immigrant and just grateful for the privilege of living in this wonderful country. And so with that in mind, we should all be doing everything we can so that Aussies can encounter Jesus Christ for themselves. And that's not just got to be a noble gesture, you know, talk. It's easy to talk. But we've got to actually get down and do something for Australia, you know, so that our nation has a chance to turn to God. Everybody in agreement with me on that? And so most of you know, I don't normally talk like I'm going to talk right now, but this is just how it is today. Most of you know that as a church, here at Real Life Church, we do everything we can through the average week to reach people in the region of this city. Most of you know it. Some people don't. And I can't speak on behalf of other churches. I'm just speaking on just for us. So we've gone and employed somebody, that's Kevin, full-time as our commitment to helping with the needs here in Australia, in our local area. Kevin is one of the hardest working men I know. I'm just so glad we've appointed him. We're also looking at, you know, we'll talk about this after the missions month, but we're also looking at buying more space to increase our community effectiveness. You know, and that's going to cost us a lot of money. But we love Australia. We give away tons of food, probably tons of food every week. We give away lots of food every week. We give clothes away. We provide showers, free showers and free laundry services. And we're wanting to build a permanent laundry just at the back here. We teach English to immigrants for free. We even give free haircuts on a Friday by a guy who doesn't know how to cut your hair, but he's learning and he's getting better. Amen. Amen. Nobody seems to mind, so it's all good. I know for us, we pour ourselves into helping others. And most importantly, we constantly present the good news of Jesus here at Real Life Church all the time. We even have a Wednesday morning service for our community, and God's working in people's lives. Hey, we even do AA and we even do NA, Narcotics Anonymous. We got it all going on. And I thank God for all of our volunteers here at Real Life Church who come to serve because they do care about Australia. In addition, we're supporting two Aboriginal churches here in WA in Australia. We love Australia. And then in September, we're going to team up with YWAM and we're going to do some special outreaches in these surrounding areas because we do love Australia. And the truth is, we should all be shining lights for Jesus in our neighbourhoods here in Australia. That's what we should do. Amen? So let's be 100% committed to reaching this great south land called Australia. But here we go. But can't we be committed to Australia and also be committed to reaching out to the nations of the world at the same time? Can't we do both? Doesn't have to be just one place and that's it. Can't we reach Australia? Can't we reach the nations of the world? Can't we pray for Australia and pray for other nations? Can't we send Christian workers to other nations? Can't we financially support our Christian workers so they can impact other nations? Everyone has a right to hear the good news of Jesus at least once. But how will other people in other lands hear if somebody doesn't go to them? What if nobody goes? And the radios are great, by the way. The radio's great. But not everybody in other lands has a radio. What if missionaries don't go? And that someone can only go if they are sent and supported by a caring church like us. They can't just go by themselves. They need help. You know, sadly, many well-resourced churches here in Australia only spend their money on themselves. We don't want to be one of those kind of churches here in Australia. Sadly, only a tiny proportion of the total amount of Christian resources in Australia goes towards presenting Jesus to the nations of the world. Just a tiny amount. I think that's a tragic fact. We have got to do something about this situation. We've got to do something about it. We've got to do something about it. We've got to do something about this situation because everyone has a right to hear the good news of Jesus at least once. We can't bury our heads in the sand and say it's someone else's problems. No, it's our problem because the Great Commission is for us too. Now, obviously, our tithes and offerings, and thank you for your tithing. Our tithing is very good. I think our church tithes really, really well. But obviously our tithes and offerings only go so far here at Real Life Church. Our tithes largely funds our community outreach capabilities. That's what sources that. By the way, can I just tell everybody here, it's very expensive to run a church. Our insurance bill is in the thousands of dollars just to have. Even to sing the songs that we sing each Sunday, we have to pay copyright for that, and it costs us thousands of dollars to be able to have the songs on the screen. It costs a lot of money to run a church. So we're able to meet all of that because we have good tithing. It's very, very good. But the urgency of the moment, of this moment in history, demands an extraordinary response from us here at Real Life Church. And so that's why we do missions pledges here at Real Life Church. Over the last few years, we have done this and we've done it so well. Together, we have pledged our financial support over and above our tithes. Tithes is one thing. This is extravagant giving, if you'd like, over and above our tithes. And we've done that together. We did it together because so that people in other lands and other cultures will have an opportunity to hear the good news about Jesus Christ just like we have. Freely we have received and freely we have given. Amen. Amen. And this year, I'm back again. I'm back. And I'm asking you, let's do it again. Yeah, come on, can we do it again? Please. Please, let's do it again. And I just want you to know, with the missions giving, none of the money that we give to missions ever benefits our church. It's not about Real Life Church. It's about people beyond the walls of Real Life Church, beyond the borders of Australia. Amen? Amen. So I'm asking you, let's not ease off. Let's not ease off. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Just very quickly, because time's nearly gone and we all want Filipino food in a minute. Amen. What is a pledge? Because this might be new to some people. Actually, I've got a pledge. You're sitting on pledges. You should be sitting on a pledging sheet. So let me explain what it is. What is a pledge? It's where you pledge a monthly amount to missions for the next financial year. So we're in the month of June. The financial year concludes on June 30th. We've really got just this month to conclude last year's, or the current year's, missions intake. And I'll give you the final number on that. Then we start again for July right through to June 2022. And the idea is that you fill out this little piece of paper that we've printed off, and you don't put your name on it. Because we don't want you to be bragging about how much you've given. We don't want you, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You know that principle? You know, this, so you fill it out, don't put your name on it, your pledge is between you and God. And then what you do is you rip it in half, look at it like this, watch, got this perforation, you go. Okay. Very good. And we got plenty of these, by the way. Yeah, you've got one there, Eleanor. You've got it. And so what you do, you've got two places where you write the figure in, and then what you do is with this part, or it doesn't matter which half really, you just drop it in the offering bag, and then you take this part, you take it home, put it in your Bible or put it on the fridge to remind yourself of what you've agreed to do. And you pledge what you can give each month for the next 12 months, because you believe that everyone has a right to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ at least once. So I just want to encourage you. And I believe we need to act with wisdom at this, because people have different incomes. Some people are pensioners. Some people have got great, you know, well-paying jobs. We're all different. But I encourage you to step out in faith, but don't make a pledge. Listen, everybody. Now, this is a pastor in me coming out. Don't make a pledge that is beyond your means. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't make a pledge that's beyond your income. Be wise with your giving. You know, your 10%, your tithes always belongs to the Lord. But giving up over that, you've got to be really wise with your giving. But give generously in Jesus' name. Think about your pledge. And that's what I'd love you to do this week. Pray about your pledge. If you're a husband or wife, talk about the pledge. Make sure that you can budget so that you can sustain your pledge for 12 months. Amen? Why pledge? Why do we do pledging? We pledge because when we collect them up, we're able to form a budget on what is promised. And then what we do is then we tell our Christian workers what they can expect. We call them and we tell them what we can expect from over the next financial year. That's really one of the main reasons why we do the pledges. The pledges are so important. We're not worried about your name. We just want to know how much is going to be coming in. We pledge also because then you're able to budget and your own income and expenses in a sensible, mature way. We pledge also because it transforms your giving into being more disciplined and intentional. It's no longer emotional giving. It's giving by conviction in Jesus' name. Everybody still with me? Everybody still with me? Now, if you do not fill in a pledge or give to missions, you will not go to hell. I just want to just, okay. Your reward in heaven might not be so good, but anyway, you know, this is a passive side of me. There's no compulsion to give it all. Can I just say this? At Real Life Church, you never even have to put anything in the offering bag. We're still going to love you as much as possible. You don't give money to buy favors with God. We give money because we want to honor God. Amen, amen. And we got a vision. We're going to conquer the world in Jesus' name. So in conclusion, I'm asking you, would you join with the many others here at Real Life Church and invest your hard-earned money, because money's not easy to come by. Would you invest your hard-earned money in our collective endeavor to make sure that people in other places get a chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Would you join with us? Would you join with us? Jesus said this. You know this saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. It's harvest time. Real Life Church, let's wake up and look around. It's harvest time. Will you pledge to missions for the next 12 months? Amen.